Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you again for joining me today. I appreciate you tuning in. I hope the message is a blessing to you. And I want you right off the bat to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let's read together. Verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Well, folks, I've got good news for you. The time is due. And the truth of the man Christ Jesus being made a ransom for all is being testified right now. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day for your justification. There's nothing that you need to do in order to be saved other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Trust him for your salvation. When was there a time in your life when you believed on Jesus Christ? You saw your need, you saw you were a sinner, and you called on the Lord to save you. You asked God to save you. When was that day? And I don't mean a date, I mean the time. If you cannot remember the time you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you do it right now? On the basis of verse 4, which says that God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth, on the basis of that, since you are one of all men, you can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust him right now as your Lord and Savior. Now, the reason I wanted to mention that is because there are two things in that verse, verse number 4, that I want you to understand are the will of God. It is God's will that all men be saved. That's number 1. And number 2, it is God's will that all men come unto the knowledge of the truth. I want to talk to you today about the knowledge of the truth. Your first need is to be saved. And every saved individual needs to understand that God will have them come unto the knowledge of the truth. There are plenty, perhaps hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of professing Christians who do not know the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. They do not know anything about the mysteries over which God has made us stewards. They will not study their Bible and believe that it means what it says. Notice, if you will, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it's talking about Israel in the context, but let's apply it to American Christianity today. He writes in verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee," and on and on. That has to do with the priesthood, and we are not a priesthood, but we are ambassadors for Christ. We are here in Christ's stead, beseeching the world that they be reconciled to God. How are we going to do that if we do not know the things we are supposed to do? Notice, if you will, in Romans chapter 10. Just as the problem with Israel in Hosea 4 was a lack of knowledge, so do you have a similar situation with Israel in Romans 10. Verse 1, Paul writes, "Brethren, My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I would submit to you that many Christians today have the very same zeal. They are zealously affected in that which they are doing, but without knowledge. Well, there's something about knowledge that people tend to be unaware of, that knowledge causes love to abound. We'll get to that in just a few minutes, but let's read further. In talking about Israel having a zeal of God but not according to knowledge, there in Romans 10 verse 3, he goes on and says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Very often, the reason that these individuals have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, even if they might be saved, and yet their teaching works for salvation, it's due to a lack of knowledge. We have God's righteousness. Did you know that? You have God's righteousness on the basis of God imputing your trespasses to Jesus Christ. Are you teaching that? Are you preaching and professing that in your doctrine? Do you even know where to find that? Well, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As I said, we're not a priesthood, but we are ambassadors. Notice in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, he writes, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, that is God, for he hath made him, that would be Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The most unfair exchange that ever occurred took place at Calvary. God exchanged the trespasses of the world, your sin, my sin, for his righteousness. He imputed our guilt and our shame on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he imputed unto us that believe his righteousness. If you don't know that, how can you proclaim it? If you're walking around believing that God is waiting for you to slip up, and if you sin, you lose your salvation, or if you commit a transgression, you fall from the truth or fall away from the body of Christ, you don't know what you're talking about. You're teaching some other doctrine and some other gospel. According to Galatians chapter 1, you'd be accursed. If any man teaches any other gospel, Paul said, let him be accursed. So the gospel of Christ is the gospel of our salvation. It's God's will that all men be saved, and according to Romans 1:16, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Once we're saved, however, we need to know something. And so I want to deal with you today on the basis of three passages that Paul wrote to you about knowing something. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, the letter to the Ephesians, and notice the prayer that Paul writes. He mentions in verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And here's the prayer: "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Now, the prayer that Paul prays for these Ephesians, and it would apply to you and I today, is that we might know something. He prays God would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him in verse 17. The word knowledge there. God will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. then Paul didn't pray for them to lay hands on each other, to heal one another. He didn't pray for their health. He didn't pray for their well-being. He prayed for their knowledge. He wanted them to have the spirit of wisdom, which is knowledge with experience, and the spirit of revelation, which is disclosure. The word revelation means to reveal something. And all the things that God needed to reveal, all the mysteries he gave to your apostle, Paul, they were given to him by revelation. He wrote them down. For you to have the spirit of revelation today is not for you to receive some new revelation of the Lord. Anybody telling you they're receiving further revelations or additional revelations other than what you've got written down in a 1611 King James Bible is lying to you. They have a demoniac spirit in them. It is a doctrine of devils that they're teaching to imply that the Word of God is not complete. For a man to stand up and say that God revealed something to him that is contrary to the Word of God, in addition to the Word of God, or outside of the Word of God, he is lying and trying to convince you of something, and chances are he's after your money. I mentioned last week about America not being in prophecy, and yet the charlatans are always out there trying to sell you something about prophecy and end times. Why don't you just trust what the book says? Quit buying what men say about the book and read the book. Isn't that common sense? Why will men shell out money for Dr. Snodgrass's commentary on Revelation instead of reading the 13 letters that God wrote directly to you from your apostle or through your apostle Paul, and his prayer was that you know those things? He prayed God would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Why did he pray that we have that? Verse 18 there in Ephesians chapter 1. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is, and there's three things there. He wants your understanding enlightened. He wants the light to go off in your head so you can see what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. The hope of his calling has to do with our hope. We are saved from wrath. The Lord is going to catch us out of this world when he returns to meet the body of Christ in the air. That is our hope. Then he says the riches of the glory of the inheritance in his saints. There is a reward associated with that hope. When we go up to meet the Lord in the air, he will judge the works that we did as saved individuals for Christ's sake. Those which abide the fire receive a reward. It has to do with reigning with Christ in glory throughout eternity. The riches of the glory of his inheritance. And then the third thing is he wants you to know what is the exceeding power which God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That power is in you, but it is not supernatural. Other than the fact that the Spirit of God is in you, that power is not being manifested in some supernatural, miraculous way through sign gifts today. That power is in you, contained in the gospel. Like I said, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Then the power of God to salvation is the gospel of Christ, and that power is in you. It's been given you. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If the power is in the gospel, then the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind are also in us, but we must access it. The power of God is not going to be demonstrated through the Benny Hinn's of the world laying their hands on people and knocking them out. There's a spirit involved, but it's not God's spirit. The spirit of the power of God is demonstrated through the words of the gospel of Christ. The spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind are connected to the gospel of Christ. And it has to do with knowing something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." The more we study to know the things God prepared for us, the more we can appreciate the beauty of his plan of salvation like a fine work of art. This song talks about that masterpiece of salvation.
Brilliant the artist, true is his hand. Rich are the colors of salvation's plan. Blank was the canvas, full was his heart. When Jesus began his perfect work of art, masterful touch, he has painted salvation with palette and brush from his glory above. Red is the color of my Lord's precious blood in the portrait of his love. Gold for the scriptures, the time can't erase. For the depth of God's amazing grace. Black was the prison of sin that held me. Whiter than snow, the truth that set me free. Masterful touch, he has painted salvation with palette and brush from his glory above. Blood in the portrait of his blood in the portrait of his love, in the portrait of his love.
Notice, if you will, in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul prays another prayer. These Colossians, again, are like unto us today. He writes in verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," and he's talking about heard of their faith, "do not cease to pray for you." Here's the prayer. "And to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Notice again the usage of the word knowledge. Paul's prayer is that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. You might be one of those Christians who is always saying, "I just want to know what God's will for my life is." Brother, sister, let me tell you something. I am not a prophet, but I know what God's will for your life is. His will for you is the same as it is for me and every other person. God's will is that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. If we know that it's God's will that all men be saved, and if you know that you're saved, then God's will for you is to do something that will bring about His will, that all men be saved. What could you do? You could start with coming unto the knowledge of the truth. If you want to know what God's will is, get in the book. Study the book and get the knowledge that God wants you to have through your apostle so you can be equipped to do the work, which is to carry out the will of God. We're talking about evangelism. We're talking about finding that which we do with our hands and our heart and our mind to bring about the salvation of souls. Paul said that he wanted you to know these things, verse 9, and be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. God is not impressed with your church attendance. He's not impressed with how high you can lift your hands during a praise song. He's not impressed with how loud the drums or the rock and roll guitars can play. And he's not impressed with how many thousands of members you've got in your big mega church and all this kind of stuff. That is setting your affections upon things of this world. God is impressed with those who with meekness and humility submit themselves to the Word of God, who preach the cross, who preach the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus, the gospel of Christ for salvation, who study the Word of God rightly divided. God is impressed with your desire to seek His will. And you know His will is that all men be saved. You know it's that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. So why don't you get on with it? Why don't you quit goofing around with this thing that you call Christianity and serve the Lord? Philippians chapter 1 says this, and again it's a prayer. Paul says in verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Did you know that love abounds in knowledge? I'll bet you thought love was something that just abounds by you just loving more. Brethren, you cannot love without knowledge. Love abounds in knowledge. Love is not an emotion. It's not a touchy-feely, huggy demonstration that you pretend every Sunday in a big congregation. That is called love with dissimulation, a false pretense, a phony show. You go up and throw your arms around somebody and hug them and tell them you love them, then you turn right around and talk about them behind their back. Love abounds in knowledge. That's what Paul said in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. And judgment there has to do with discernment, discerning things. There's a lot of garbage out there that is not truth but pretends to be truth. It's being taught today in churches. It's false doctrine. Yet there's the truth that was given unto you by your apostle from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is more excellent than other things that are being taught. So he goes on to say in verse 10 that he wanted you to have this knowledge and judgment that would cause your love to abound in order that ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. How can you be filled with the fruits of righteousness? How can you be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ? In other words, how can we stand before the judgment seat of Christ expecting our work to be gold, silver, and precious stones if we do not allow our love to abound? And the love does not abound through emotionalism. Love abounds in knowledge and in all judgment. You want to love more? Get in the book. You want to love other people more? Study the Word of God and increase your knowledge so that you can approve things that are excellent. For example, 1 Corinthians 12 deals with spiritual gifts. that were being used for a time while God was still dealing with the Jew. And the Jew requires a sign, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So God used signs. From Moses all the way through, God used signs in dealing with Israel. Paul mentions some of those sign gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and says in verse 31, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." There is something more excellent than the sign gifts. And the next chapter is chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. It talks about love. Charity. The Greek word is agape, and it's love, but it's love that seeks nothing in return. Charity. You want your love to abound? Get in the Word. Paul says in that chapter on charity that he knew in part and prophesied in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part would be done away. The word perfect means complete, grown up, mature, of full age. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes these words in verse 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." Perfect there is throughly furnished. What makes you perfect? The Word of God. What will perfect you to carry out every good work? All scripture. Studied on the basis of rightly dividing the word of truth, as you are commanded to do. It needs to be used for doctrine, for reproof, which is to blame, for correction, which is rebuke that would give you the solution to what you're doing wrong, for instruction in righteousness. And you're being instructed right now in that thing which we need to do that is righteous. It would be to know the will of God, to get in the book and study it. You've been playing Christian long enough. If you're truly saved and you know you have a Savior, it's time to grow up. Read the Word of God. Believe it means what it says. Stop listening to what other men say about it and believe and do the things it tells you to do in order that the will of God be fulfilled. I thank you for listening today. You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.